Welcome to Long Live Bad Art, the podcast for art lovers who don't see art as much as they want to. My name is Sydney, and thank you for taking this little tour through an art gallery with a casual art lover. Today, I'll be talking about A Woman Playing the Thurible Lute and A Cavalier by Gerard Ter Borch the Younger. I hope you enjoy. Gerard Ter Borch the Younger was born in December of 1617 in Zwolle. As you might expect, his father is Gerard Ter Borch the Elder, and he was also an artist. Gerard the Elder gave his son a fine education, including sending him to Amsterdam at the tender age of 15 to study under an artist. The exact artist is unknown, but scholars have speculated it could be Willem Cornelius Doister or Pieter Codde, who were both painters. In 1634, he studied under Pieter de Mulgen in Haarlem. De Mulgen was both a painter and an engraver, though if Ter Borch ever made any engravings, none survive. Ter Borch completed his training and registered with Haarlem's Guild of St. Luke in 1635. You'd think Painter's Guild would get more creative with their names, rather than using the same saint. It gets predictable after three cities. In 1635, Ter Borch was in London, England with his uncle via his stepmother, Gisen van Voorst. Her brother was the engraver Robert van Voorst. Ter Borch did some country hopping to Germany, France, Spain, and Italy. It's documented he was in Rome in 1641 when he painted Jan VI, a young lady, and the portrait of a gentleman. He was in Munster, Germany in 1648 during the ratification of peace between Spain and Holland. He painted the signing of that treaty along with Man's Standing, a painting also known as Portrait of a Young Man. Ter Borch was invited to Madrid, Spain to work under King Philip IV. He also received knighthood from the man. After some unknown intrigue, which I assume is a nice way of saying scandal, in 1650, he returned to his home country, first to Campden, then Delft precisely on April 22, 1653. We know the exact date because he and Vermeer were witnesses together to the signing of some document. Ter Borch then went to Deventer in 1655 with his newly wedded wife, Gertrude Mathis. He married Gertrude on Valentine's Day in 1654. Ter Borch also became a councilman in Deventer in 1666. Documents and portraits put him in Amsterdam in 1674 and The Hague and Haarlem in 1675, but he always returned to Deventer, where he died on December 8, 1681. After his death, at his request, his body was transported to his hometown so he can rest in peace next to his father. Ter Borch influenced other Dutch painters, such as Gabriel Metsu and Johannes Vermeer. You may recognize the first name from a brief mention in the third episode, and the second name as being the focus of the first episode. Ter Borch had a pupil, Caspar the Friendly Ghost. Just kidding. Caspar Netscher. Netscher studied with Ter Borch during the mid-1650s. Less than 100 of Ter Borch's works have survived and are attributed to him. He was a genre painter, which you know means he painted scenes from everyday life. On to the painting. On the left of the painting, as promised, there's a young woman playing a thurible lute, which is somewhat like a guitar with a long body that's more rounded than the other instrument. The neck of the instrument near the body is thick, then comes in at a sharp angle and the rest of the neck is thinner and long, with the metal knobs on the side that you use to tune a guitar. 9 tuners in all, or maybe 8. The woman is wearing a satin dress that's mostly covered by her overcoat and the instrument. The dress only shows from her lap down to her shins. The overcoat is a deep blue, heavy fabric that looks like it's made of a velvet material. There's some shine to the fabric, but not as much as the dress. The coat is trimmed with white fur. The woman has a black necklace made of rounded beads. It's short, only coming a small distance down her chest. Her skin is pale. She has a small smile on her face as she looks at the cavalier. Her brown hair is almost wiry, but it could just need a good brushing. It's also fairly short. It barely comes past the tops of her shoulders. She has a red flower in it above her right ear. The light is coming from the middle left edge of the painting, just above the woman's head. Her right hand is resting on the body of the thurible lute, with her thumbs poised to strum. Her left is holding the neck of the instrument, wrapped around the bottom of it. Her fingers are slightly spaced apart, with her ring finger slightly lower than the others. Her thumb is behind the neck. The overcoat sleeves stop a little past her elbows. Her left elbow is resting on the table the young cavalier is sitting on. You can see inside the sleeve. The lining stops above the fur and is white. In front of the woman, on the table, is an open soft cover book. It's on the edge of the table, the other side of its cover draped over the side closer to the viewer. It's probably a music book because you can faintly see the bars where notes go. The tablecloth looks heavy, slightly more like a carpet. It's brown with lighter brown-yellow designs on it. The designs are almost plus sign shaped but wide. The vertical part is thicker than the horizontal part. There are blue-gray designs at the corner of the cloth, at least the two corners we can see. The exact nature of the designs are indistinguishable. The table itself is slightly diagonal. Along the bottom edge of the cloth are more blue designs, these ones small diamonds on top of each other. The bottom diamond is only the top half of it, so it's more of a triangle. It's wider than the top design. The diamonds are in a band of light beige that runs all along the edge of the cloth. On top of the tablecloth is a thinner cloth that just curls over the top edge of the table. This covering is a lighter brown than the main tablecloth. It too has designs on it, but the angle makes it nearly impossible to see what they are. The colors are faint red and blue, with another beige band along the outside. The cavalier is sitting on the table, his back towards the right of the painting. His right hand is resting on the table and he's facing the woman at an angle. Near his right hand is a silver pocket watch with a medium shade blue ribbon. The cavalier is wearing a loose white shirt tucked into loose gray pants. His legs are on the far side of the table from the viewer. His shirt is covered by a similarly colored gray overgarment that almost looks like it's made of leather. The shirt shows at his lower back and at his wrists. The arms of the possibly leather overgarment are ribbed and colored a light brown with gray tones. His hair is also brown and has a similar texture as the woman's. His hair is longer than hers. It's draped over the front of the soldiers and at least down to his collarbone. I am unsure of his exact length because the ends are obscured by his body. He's looking at the woman and looks almost sad. His left hand is resting in his lap. Underneath him is a thin silver something. It could be the hilt of a sword, but I'm not sure. The background of the painting is a cool gray stone wall. Not bricks, large blocks. On the left, behind the woman, is an entryway. It's at an angle, and you're only able to see the columns on either side in the dark doorway. The columns are fixed to the wall, so they're flat at the back. The columns are fluted, and their tops are carved as well. They almost look like the Ionic style of Greek columns, the middle order where they have the curls at the top. The columns are holding up a light brown stone mantle. The wall the columns are fixed to is a lighter color than the black wall. It's a cross between light brown and light gray. Between the figures is a dark shadow. It could be thrown from either figure, but the shadow itself looks odd. It's not a detailed outline. It's like the head and shoulders of a black paper doll, the ones you make in chains holding hands. Now for my thoughts. The painting is smaller than I expected, but then most people say that about the Mona Lisa. It's interesting that the woman is the focus of the painting and even the name. Turbok could easily have called it a cavalier listening to a woman playing the thurible lute. But the woman is not only more brightly dressed, she's also lit. The cavalier might be dully dressed, but his clothes are more interesting from a texture standpoint. He's wearing leather or near equivalent with banded sleeves. I'd never seen a thurible lute before this painting, and I don't know if anyone still plays one. Most likely there is. Nearly anyone can learn anything due to the internet. I don't play the guitar, but I wish I did. And I promise, if I did, I would learn more than one song, and especially more than Wonderwall. The hair on both figures is also interesting. It's the same rough, wiry texture. I've raved about how you can see textures in the paintings we've already covered, but the hair in this one is different somehow. I don't know why I like it. But that's the fun part about art. You'll be drawn to different things in every painting than everyone else. I'm drawn to both the rough hair and smooth satin. You might like the blue fabric of her coat or the tablecloth. Each piece of art speaks to each person, and each element speaks at a different volume. Some scream, some are barely a whisper. You just have to listen. That's my challenge for you. Pick a single artwork. You can even use a computer if you like. Look at it for at least 5 minutes, if you can. Notice the details you like and don't like. I guarantee that you'll be surprised by them. I'm surprised by what I'm drawn to every time I sit in front of a new painting. When you see what you like, make a physical or mental note. Try to see those things, colors, textures, feelings, in life. And when you find more things you like, you'll get a better experience out of the life you lead because you'll start to see the best version of yourself reflected in it. So look for that reflection. You tend to find what you look for. If you like this episode of Long Live Bat Art, please consider telling a friend and reviewing to help the podcast grow. A link to the transcript of this episode is available in the show notes below. And you can follow me on Twitter at Long Live Bat Art and Tumblr at tumblr.com/longlivebatart. That's Long Live B-A-T Art. Thank you for listening to this episode, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.